caw, caw, caw. Lincoln heard the raucous calling of Corvus, then the feathery whooshing of her wings before he felt the tingle of her claws on his chest. She peered down at him with intelligent, beady eyes. Well, she clacked, strutting towards his feet, then back into view. What nest did you fall out of, child? He'd never talked to a crow before, if you could call their silent communication a form of speech. Why not? Corvus demanded accusingly. Cat got your tongue? For the same reason, he'd never actually seen an elf or been frightened by a real troll, he supposed. Nobody ever told me I could talk to creatures other than humans. And you needed to be told? Yes. How else was I to know this thought talk might be possible? Well, never mind all that. The important question is, how did you end up under the spell of Nash and Gristle? Lincoln recounted his mad dash through the forest and tumbled down the stone steps. But Corvus cut him short. Yes, yes, she croaked impatiently. The question becomes, how do we break their spell and get you home? She hopped up onto his chin and pecked his nose. Ow! Lincoln objected. Why did you do that? If you prick your finger on a thorn, what's the first thing you do? She asked in that irritating tone Miss Starkey sometimes uses when she thinks the answer should be obvious. I say, ouch, I suppose. And? He remembered pushing through the dense underbrush along the hermit's trail just before he tumbled into the troll's trap, the prickly blackberry canes pulling at his sleeves, piercing the exposed skin of his hands, the pain. You pull away, he said, pleased with himself. Correct, Corvus agreed matter-of-factly. And since you didn't react to my pecking, didn't even flinch, we can conclude you are caught up in a deep spell, not some sort of waking dream. I could have told you that, Lincoln complained. But then I wouldn't have known it was true. She hopped back onto his chest, ruffled her wings, refolded them, and resettled onto her perch. What are you thinking? Lincoln asked after a while. I'm trying not to think, and you're not helping, she scolded. There's a time for thinking and a time for letting thoughts come to you. That's something you humans would do well to learn. Again, she ruffled her feathers and slipped into what he took to be some kind of meditation. He couldn't say how long she'd been gone. Time didn't seem to work the same in the land of elves, trolls, and crows as it did in places where there were traffic lights, school buzzers, and ticking clocks. But at last, Corvus's eyes opened, and he knew she had something very important to say. She held Lincoln in her gaze for a moment, until he understood she cared for him in her own way, that she loved him just because. Then she asked, "Can I tell you a story?" He said yes, and would have nodded enthusiastically if he could. "It will have to be shortened, but I do think it's important you hear it," she began,